Welcome to the second half of the HIMSS AMA podcast entitled Information Exchange and Stage 2 Meaningful Use. I'm Julie Moffitt, Program Manager with HIMSS, and I'll be continuing my conversation with Dr. Joe Heyman and Dan Paoletti in this podcast. Dr. Joe Heyman is former chair of the American Medical Association Board of Trustees and former president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. He is a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist who practiced in the Merrimack Valley of northeastern Massachusetts for 41 years. He is the founder and former president of the Whittier IPA, an association of 250 physicians that owns and operates the Wellport Health Information Exchange, and now serves as its chief medical information officer. Joe serves on the advisory boards of the Bryan University Online Health Informatics Programs and Digital Collaboration Solutions, as well as the Central Institutional Review Board. In addition, Dr. Heyman is a member of the ONC's Certification, Adoption, and Implementation Work Groups. Joe had a paperless solo practice from 2001 when he adopted an EMR until he closed his practice in March of this year. Joining Dr. Heyman is Dan Paoletti, CEO of the Ohio Health Information Partnership, or OHIP, a nonprofit organization that manages the statewide regional extension center and is the state-designated HIE entity in Ohio. Dan sat on the executive board of OHIP as one of the founder member organizations prior to serving as the CEO. Before joining the partnership, he also served as vice president of the Ohio Hospital Association and the chief operating officer of OHA Solutions. Gentlemen, thank you for continuing this conversation. Joe, how could a physician urge their lab to join an HIE?
Well, I think the best way to get a lab to join an HIE is to explain that if the lab doesn't join, it's probably going to be necessary for many physicians to change laboratories, because physicians want to receive their laboratory work directly and be able to import it directly into their EMR. And if they're joining an HIE, even if that lab will directly deliver the information, they don't want to have to do that in two different places. And I find that commercial laboratories are really eager to join our HIE. And I actually have a concern for our little community hospitals, because if they don't join our HIE, I worry that just the amount of income that they receive from lab work alone can be the difference between a positive balance sheet and a negative balance sheet for a hospital. So I think it's really important that hospitals in particular join HIE so that lab work can be processed through the HIE.
And I would just agree with really what Joe said. It comes down to a business case for the labs. For the hospitals, it's really critical from an ancillary business perspective to be able to deliver those results discreetly into the EMR, especially as stage two meaningful use is on the horizon here for most providers. And if it's nearly impossible to do point-to-point connections, as many of the big laboratory companies were doing. So a health information exchange can really not only save hospital laboratories a significant amount of money, but they can really be their delivery mechanism for these labs. So there is a very strong business case there. And for the commercial labs, again, most of them have been more than willing in the past to do point-to-point connections with these practices. But as many updates that are going on right now with the EMRs and patches because of the meaningful use and the upgrades that are occurring, it can also be a very strong business case for the commercial labs to let the HIE manage that instead of them managing it. So it really is a very strong business case, and the provider does hold a lot of cards with that because, you know, there's a lot of revenue being generated through those ancillary services.
Dan, where can physicians go to learn more about registries? And are all registries already connected through HIE?
No, I'll just throw it off the bat. Not all registries are. I think the most two important places that a practice can go is one, to the Department of Health, because that is where they're going to get what's required for meaningful use from a public health reporting standpoint for their particular state. but also for those providers that still have regional extension centers in their area, those regional extension centers can be a tremendous asset in really helping pointing those providers in the right place and making sure that they're getting good information. So those are probably the two places that we would most recommend.
And this is Joe. I would certainly agree with Dan's answer about that, including the initial no. But I think also another two great places for physicians to go would be, first of all, the AMA has a series of podcasts from the National Quality Registry Network, which they can get online if they're AMA members. They just go there and download those podcasts. And HIMSS as well has a great deal of information about registries, which you can just go to their website and search under registries and get a good deal of information there as well. And, of course, if you're in a place like Massachusetts where there are so many academic centers, many of them have a good deal of information about registries for physicians as well.
Many pharmacies and hospitals already use SureScripts for e-prescribing. Will connecting an EHR to the SureScripts HIE be enough for the medication reconciliation requirement?
I would say that no matter what you do, no matter whom you connect with, if you're going to do medication reconciliation, there has to be a human being involved. It can't be done just electronically. So I think it helps tremendously if your HIE is connected with SureScripts and you have all the medication history there. But I still think a human being has to intervene and make certain, discussing with the patient or with the patient's caretaker, exactly what medications are genuinely being taken or should be taken.
Yes, and I would absolutely agree with that. I do think that getting the medication history from someone like SureScripts is important, but when you look at all the other potential medication that a patient could be taking, whether it was from an inpatient stay, whether it was from a long-term care facility or over-the-counter medications, there's no one answer. You have to have a human being involved in that. And the continuity of care record, the transition of care document, that will begin to flow with meaningful use, I think will be tremendously helpful, especially as patients are coming from the hospitals, because that information will be included in there, which is another piece of the puzzle. So, again, I do think it is going to take a human being to put the pieces of the puzzle together and making sure that it's done correctly.
Dan, can a physician use a HISP instead of an HIE to meet the summary of care requirement?
Yes, absolutely. And again, we are in a health information exchange, but we are encouraging all of our providers to engage in a health information service provider to be able to do direct messaging, because that really is what we're seeing, at least here in Ohio, the base way that transition of care documents are going to flow. We actually make a HISP available to our providers at no charge, but most 2014 certified EMRs are also integrating with specific HISP into the EMR. So direct messaging is going to be important, and I think it's going to be critical, again, for all providers to have that basic functionality. And then what we want to do is complement that functionality with more robust health information exchange services. And again, we particularly have gone through the HealthyWay certification, so that is another option for providers to help meet meaningful use. But we really want to try to look at each particular practice that we're working with and figure out what the best solution is. But in most cases, I think it's pretty critical that they have that direct messaging capability.
And we also, the network vendor that we use for our very robust health information exchange, also acts as a HISP. And we do give direct messaging at no charge to participants in our HIE. And I guess one of the advantages of doing it through an HIE rather than doing it directly with a HISP that only provides direct messaging, is that you can take all kinds of clinical information right off the health information exchange, even if you were not the physician who created that information, attach it to a direct message, and then send it to somebody else who's not in your health information exchange, and perhaps asking for a referral or providing them with clinical information that's more than you would have in your own medical record. So here again, I think it's great when a health information exchange also provides direct messaging.
Can you explain what the difference is between using a HISP and using an HIE?
Dan is probably a better expert on this than I am.
Well, again, I was going to say, I think Joe did a pretty good start of that. I mean, and really, a HISP is the highway that enables direct messaging, and that is the capability that comes out of the EMR to create the message, or create the CCDA, create the message, and send it through an integrated strategy between the EMR and the HISP, and then that HISP delivers it to the endpoint. A health information exchange can also do that, and as Joe mentioned, most robust HIEs also offer HISP services, again, because we think it's so important, but they can complement that with additional capability such as query, many are becoming Healthy Way certified, which is another way to move transition care documents in a meaningful use certified way. So I think really the difference is most HIEs will offer additional services on top of the HISP services.
Do either of you have any final thoughts on HIE and meaningful use that you'd like to share with the listeners?
This is Dan. I'll just give one final thought. And I think, you know, health information exchanges, if a practice or a provider can find a good partnership with a health information exchange, they can be incredibly valuable in helping that practice, not only with meaningful use, but other things that are coming down the healthcare highway, such as payment reform, whether that comes in the form of patient-centered medical home or accountable care organizations. They really can be a trusted partner. And again, you know, it's important to find that health information exchange that really does want to be the partner for the practice. So, again, they are not required for meaningful use, but they can be a very big help to practices.
And this is Joe. Let me just add on to that in preparation for this podcast, I went through the meaningful use measures for stage two. And even though only one or two require an HIE, if you look carefully at them, probably 95% of them will be facilitated by having an HIE. And finally, what I would like to say is that, most importantly, a health information exchange increases the efficiency and quality of patient care. So ultimately, the most important thing about a health information exchange is that it's there for patients.
Well said.
Thank you both so much. HIMSS would like to thank our panelists, Dan Paoletti and Dr. Joe Heyman, for this important and informative discussion. Please visit www.hims.org for additional podcasts and check out the AMA Online Learning Center located at www.ama-assn.org for additional resources.